That bill, aiming to strip most collective bargaining rights from public sector unions in Wisconsin, is a step closer to passage after Republicans held a surprise early morning vote.
Having been read three times, shall the bill be passed? All in favor will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the roll.
Well, that was quick. Angry Democrats and union supporters who've been camped out for days at the Wisconsin State Capitol were caught flat-footed by that surprise, quick 1 a.m. vote. And now Republican Governor Scott Walker's bill moves to the Senate, where Republicans say it's the Democrats who've pulled a fast one on them, camping out across the border in Illinois to prevent a vote in the Senate. A similar drama is also playing out in Indiana. Ohio and other states are debating union rights. And MoveOn.org is calling for pro-union rallies in every state capital tomorrow, while conservatives are telling their supporters to counter-demonstrate. So, where are we? Steve Greenhouse is labor and workplace reporter for The New York Times, author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. He joins us from Madison. And, Steve, it sounds like a wild night, a one-in-the-morning vote. We understand some Democrats came out crying.
Robin, it's been not just a crazy night, but a crazy week, crazy 10 days here. After 61 hours of nonstop debate on this bill, the Republicans suddenly decided, let's jam it through. They just called a snap vote, and within seconds, 51 Republicans had voted yes, and 17 Democrats had voted no, and about 25 legislators, almost all of them Democrats, were like away from their desks and never got a chance to vote. And meanwhile, the Republicans are accusing the Democrats of being undemocratic because 14 Democratic senators have fled the state to prevent a quorum, to prevent a vote.
Right. Well, let's have a little thumbnail because this is sort of boiled down to bumper stickers. So just remind us what the fight is over. Union workers in Wisconsin have agreed to cuts in pension and health insurance, we understand, but the fight is now over bargaining. What's the governor demanding they give up?
I'm going to give a little history.
Yeah.
So in 1935, Congress passed the National Labor Relations Act, which gave private sector workers the right to unionize, but it didn't cover public sector workers. So each state can decide for itself whether or not it wants to let state workers or public employees bargain. So since 1959, Wisconsin has let public employees bargain, but now Scott Walker wants to virtually end collective bargaining for most state employees and most local employees, exempting police and firefighters. In his so-called budget repair bill, he's asking for major givebacks. He wants the workers to start paying 5.8% of their salaries towards their pension and double their contributions for health coverage to 12% of the cost of health coverage. Then he's asking for largely gutting collective bargaining. Unions could bargain over only one thing, basic wages. They couldn't bargain over vacations or workloads or seniority rules. Governor Walker says this is about trying to help the state and localities balance their budgets. The unions say this is largely about trying to cut unions off at the knees.
Well, wasn't he also asking that, for instance, union workers have to vote every year as to whether or not they want to have a union and things like that?
Yes, there'd be a vote every single year on whether workers wanted to quit their unions, end their unions. The state now helps unions, as many unionized employers do, by removing employee dues from their paychecks and forwarding it to the union treasury. Unions would have to figure out how to scrounge up the money on their own. Governor Walker would allow state workers who are in unions to stop paying any union dues if they so choose. And many of these moves would just greatly weaken unions. You know, in Indiana, Governor Daniels, when he first took office in 2005, issued an executive order to end collective bargaining for state employees. Since then, like 90% of state employees have quit their unions, and unions and public employee unions in Indiana have become much, much weaker, and they become a weaker political force in elections. And that's why many union leaders say this is political payback. The Republicans, Governor Walker, Governor Daniels, Governor Kasich, are angry at the unions for backing Democrats in election after election. But the governors all respond, no, this is all about trying to help them balance the budget and help give, you know, states, cities, school districts more flexibility to, you know, balance their budgets and manage their operations.
Okay, a couple of questions. You mentioned Indiana, where Democrats have also fled across state lines. They're fighting Republican Governor Mitch Daniels' new proposed restrictions on teacher collective bargaining rights. And you mentioned Governor Kasich in Ohio. Republican lawmakers said they would agree to allow some collective bargaining on wages. So that's sort of the same situation being set up as in Wisconsin. Couple questions. How much money will states save by in effect, you know, breaking or stripping down the unions this way?
It's very unclear how much money the states will save. Governor Daniels said that, you know, thanks to ending collective bargaining, it's been much easier to contract out services. He contracted out cafeteria food service work at the 28 state prisons. He says that saves $16 million a year. Some union leaders and government officials I've interviewed said, well, you're going to lose all this wonderful labor management cooperation. You won't be getting the good ideas many rank-and-file workers have about how to save money. And they argue it's not going to save that much money at all.
Well, and what about public sentiment? Gallup and USA Today issued a poll this week showing broad disapproval for stripping unions of collective bargaining rights. Only Republicans liked the idea, but then it was still a close margin. But then in Wisconsin, polling shows residents are evenly split on this issue. They're very much in favor of cutting back on the salaries. But we're just wondering, what is the public sentiment now that this prank phone call has been released? You know, Governor Scott Walker caught in a call. He thought he was talking to one of the Koch brothers, the billionaires who are against unions and have been backing the governor. Instead, he was talking to a blogger. But he said in this prank phone call that he had considered bringing troublemakers into the protesters. Kind of a really unseemly whiff there. What's the public sentiment?
Wisconsinites are divided about whether or not to greatly weaken collective bargaining for public employees. I don't doubt that the phone call hurt the governor's cause. You know, it made him look that, as if he's consorting with this billionaire. He admitted that, you know, part of his strategy is to threaten to lay off all these workers just to get unions to cave in on collective bargaining.
Well, so where do you think this goes, Steve? Do you think this is the beginning of the end of collective bargaining?
No, but if Governor Walker's bill gets enacted, it will certainly weaken collective bargaining. I think it will give momentum to the efforts in Indiana and Ohio and, you know, some other states considering things like this, Tennessee, Oklahoma. But unions remain strong in many states, you know, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, California, Oregon, Washington. So it's not an end, but it's a weakening. And Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin are very big states. You know, unions have been very strong in those states over the years, and that, you know, if public sector collective bargaining ends in these states or is greatly weakened in the states, you know, that's a significant blow to unions and will give more momentum to anti-union efforts in other states.
Steve, thanks as always. Steve Greenhouse of the New York Times.